All right. There's a pattern that we see all through Scripture that in every chaotic situation, every situation of lack or problem, the way out of it, the first step is the Word. The first step out of it is the Word. Because the Word of God has creative power. But the Word of God is also the wisdom of God. And boy, do we need the wisdom of God. Sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in a situation we don't know how to get out of it. I have found in my banking days that a very interesting thing about people is that if somebody ends up in some problem situation, they'll go to someone else who has the same problem and get wisdom from them. Of course, you just compound the problem that way. It's better to go to someone who doesn't have the problem, right? And learn from them. And so the Word of God is always the first step. It's always the beginning of something that God is going to do. He's going to speak into that situation. He's going to speak creative power. He's going to speak wisdom and begin to guide our steps away from that problem situation. Not only that, but also into the purpose that God has for us. The first step from lack to abundance would be the Word of God. The first step towards the blessing of God is going to be the Word of God. It's hard for you to be blessed if you don't live according to the Word of God. Because this book is all about blessing. This is God's wisdom to us to step into the blessing that He has for us. Do you know that God wants you to be blessed? God wants every area of your life to be blessed. He wants you to do well. God is a good God. And He gives good things to people. And He wants people to live well and to do well and to live lives that are fulfilled. And so, in the beginning is the Word. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, and there it began, when God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. God doesn't work in darkness, you know that. He only works in light. And His wisdom is light. But David says in one of the Psalms that the Word is a light unto my path and a lamp to my feet. It brings light. If we live according to the Word of God, we'll have a lamp to our feet. We'll know where to go. Because the Word of God will tell us. The Word of God will show the way and lead us if we're willing to follow it. And so, in the beginning, when we find ourselves in a tough situation, let's say to ourselves, the first step's going to be, what does God say about that? What does God say about that situation? How do we walk away from that? How do we walk away from the problem towards the solution? And from the lack to the abundance. And from worry to peace. Because Jesus came to give us peace. You know that peace is such a scarce commodity these days. I read that the world was never before has been as rich as it is today. There's never been as many millionaires and billionaires as today. And yet, the world has never been in so much turmoil as today. But people don't have answers. Leaders don't have answers. And all the technological advancement and all the bright minds and all the advancement of humankind, it seems to me that we're moving backwards. We have more wars today. There is more unrest in the world. There are more diseases going around. And The only way to get to that place is where God wants us to be. And the Word of God takes us there. Okay, let's look at a few examples as we go on. And Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Luke 5 and verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to do what? To hear the word of God. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for catch. Now watch. He's talking now to a professional fisherman. But, do you know that is often the first word that we speak after God spoke to us? But. It's not my personality. But my circumstances, you don't understand my circumstances. But what about this and what about that? But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And see, this is what I want to speak about today is nevertheless. Sometimes when we have a but, may we also say, nevertheless. Even though I find it hard to believe, doesn't make sense to me. There's a lot of things in the Bible that don't make sense. Nevertheless, I will do what you say. I will do what you tell me to do. I don't understand it. I don't like it. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that you won't like. But you know, if you follow the Word of God, you'll always win. You'll always win. If you read the article at the back of your calendar today for this month, you'll see there's an article, Why We Believe. And it says there in one place that everywhere in the world where the Word of God is taught and lived, people have done well, they had peace, and they prospered. But nowhere where the Word of God was taught and lived, was there any problem that could not be overcome? Think about that. Nevertheless, even though I don't understand it, even though it makes no sense, I think and I believe that when Jesus told Peter to go out and he had worked all night already, and he's a fisherman, he knew the lake, he knew fish, he knew all of that. He already cleaned the nets. It was not very likely that out of his own, he would go back. But he believed the word that came to him. And that changed the whole situation. Nevertheless, and this is what I would like to leave with us today, is when we are confronted with the word of God in a situation that doesn't make sense to us, or it's hard to do, and we would like to say, but, let's say, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. I will do what you say. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Peter Simon saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't preach to him. All he said was, Go out and let down your nets for a catch. And because he saw what obedience to the word could do and did for him. He recognized Jesus as the Lord right there. Right there. Just because he saw the fruit of obedience to the word, even though it didn't make sense. I think he was so glad that he said, I said, nevertheless, I'll go. I'll go one more time. I'll go. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. As Christians, I know most of us believe the Bible, but we don't always do the Bible. But I think it's time for us Christians to begin to line up with what we believe and walk in all the light that we have. Every day of the week, line up our lives, line up our speech, begin to renew our minds to the Word of God, because we have to win. We have no choice. We must win. We must win. We have no choice. We have to win. I'm so glad Counselor spoke about the call that is felt on Canada. It's big. It's big. But it's possible. But we need to pay attention to what the Word says. And we need to understand that that call comes not only to people that we don't know. It comes to me. And it comes to you as a person. It comes to you as a person. That God expects you to come in and walk in to that call and begin to do what He expects us to do. Do you know that there are so many... I saw a friend of mine in Brussels posted something on Facebook this past week. He said this summer that the population of the world is going to what? To 7 billion? 7 billion people. And the first thing he said was, do you know that the harvest is big? The harvest is huge. And we got to do something about that. We got to do something about that. And the word comes to us and it says, pray the Lord that He will send out laborers into the harvest. That word comes to every one of us. It's the beginning of the harvest. You know that. It's the word of God in the beginning. The beginning of the harvest is, you have to go. You have to go. You have to go and bring them in. Bring them in. Do something about the harvest. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do what you tell me to do. Mark chapter 4. And verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. That's the beginning of something, right? The word is spoken. Something's about to begin. It's not quite what they expect, but something's going to begin. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many of you have said that? I have. I remember some things that I said, I don't think God cares. I prayed. And what I prayed for didn't happen. And these disciples were and they were scared. They were scared. They woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care about us? We're perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. In the margin it says, he said, be quiet. Be quiet. How much sense does that make? It makes no sense, right? Here you come sleepy out of the boat and you speak in this big storm, be quiet. But now remember, God is speaking. And it doesn't have to make sense. Bill Winston said the Word of God was not given to make sense, it was given to make faith. And even though it didn't make sense, look, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. Now they were more scared. They were not scared about the storm. Now they're scared about the calm. How is it possible that he came and he speaks and suddenly the storm is gone? They were first scared about the storm. Now they're scared of him. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Obey him. Do you know that the wind and the sea are often more obedient than we are? But if we be willing to obey him, we'll see more than we should, than we do. We'll see a lot more than we do. But we filter always, you know, we pass this thing through our minds and we filter out things that don't make sense. But with it, we also filter out faith. Instead of just saying, well, let God be God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's speaking. He knows what he's talking. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe him. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I won't care about the opinions of people. I'll just care about God's opinion. And just listen to what he says. But the wind and the sea obeyed when Jesus spoke. Now, here's a little tip. Do you know that sometimes we just need to say what he says? That's still the word of God. We say what he says. Instead of doing what the disciples were doing, running around frantically and scared because the storm was there, and they're scared of the storm and begin to panic and worry. Just have faith in God. Because he did say, let's go over. Let's go over to the other side. And they should have known that when Jesus said that, that's what he meant. Even though a storm was on its way, it didn't change anything at all. Didn't change anything at all. We cannot allow the storms of life to change our direction and to change our purpose. We cannot allow the storms that come our way to change our call and our vision. No, we lock in on that and we move straight on and just do what he tells us to do. Just do what he tells you to do. You know, I was very, not scared, but prone to worry. Especially when we first started out in ministry. When little things went wrong, I tell you, it could keep me awake for nights. But through the years, I've learned that worrying about things doesn't solve anything. Doesn't solve anything. And I've learned the hard way. When things go wrong, not to pay attention to that. Just don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to what God said. Pay attention to where he said we should go. Pay attention to what he said we should do. And don't be moved from that. The devil is a master of circumstances. To operate in the circumstantial, to distract us, to get us off course, so that we will not reach where God wants us to go. And if I can leave something with you today, it would be this. Don't be moved by what you see. Be moved by what God says. Put your faith in what you believe and not in what you see. And not in what you hear people say. Just do what God tells you to do. Oh, there'll be opposition. There'll be questions. People come around and question you. What are you doing? What are you busy with? That will never work. That will never. So many people tried it. This is way out there. I mean, all of that will come. But the only opinion that counts is God's opinion. And that's the one that we believe. We just do what God tells us to do, and the rest is not our business. That's God's business. He'll speak into the storm, but the storm will not kill us. I tell you, Jesus could sleep. He could sleep in that storm, in that boat, because he knew that he was not going to die by drowning. He was going to die on a cross. That was his purpose. Didn't worry about the storm. And that's the way we should be. That's the way we should live. Moved by what the Word of God says we should do. Amen. We're not moved by circumstances. Let me tell you something. There will always be circumstances. There will always be negativity. There will always be a reason not to do things. There will always be a reason not to move forward. There will always be stuff like that. But we're not moved by that. We are moved by what God says. And that's all we know. Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Matthew 15 verse 21. This is a lovely story of this woman. This Canaanite that came to Jesus. Verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her, what? Not a word. Not a word. Now, without the word, nothing can happen. She was waiting on a word. He answered her, not a word. Not a word. How many people would turn away from God when he does that? I don't believe this business. I don't believe this faith business. I don't believe, you know, because I prayed and God didn't answer me a word. Nothing. There was nothing. Sometimes we just pray for nice to have things and not because we're serious. Just nice to have. And I believe sometimes God wants to see that we are serious. He knows that he knows our hearts, but we need to know if we're serious about what we pray for. We need to know that. And this woman was serious. She was not going to give up. She was not taking no for an answer. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." She was noisy. And she was not going to give up. She was not taking no for an answer. She was not taking this thing that he ignored her. She was not taking any of that. This was the day that her daughter would be delivered and set free. And that was not going to change. She had her mind made up that today was the day. Today was the day. And nothing could change it. That is faith. That is faith. Some people say, well, maybe it's not his will. Well, if that was true, then she had all the reason to believe that. But she didn't. She did not believe any. She wouldn't take any of that stuff. The disciples chased her away. Jesus ignored her. She refused to give up. She knew we had the answer. She knew he could do it, and she was not going to leave. She was not going to leave. I wonder how many times we get so close, so close, so close to that thing that we've been praying for and asking, and then we just walk away from it and say, well, I don't think that's God's will. I don't think so. So close. It's never a good time to quit. It's never a good time to give up. It's always right to press on. It's always right to keep knocking on that door. To keep knocking on that door. And I'm telling you, sometimes there may be hard labor. We read the book of Daniel and we saw this man praying 21 days. The devil resisted him. That answer of coming to him. 21 days, he would not give up. The king came and said, well, all, everybody, you bow before this image that I've made, and if you don't, you're dead. You're dead. And he went to his room, he opened the windows, and he prayed. For everybody could hear and everybody could see, because he knew where the source of power was. He knew where the answers came from. He could not be put off from prayer. He, even though he was warned, he could not be stopped from praying, because he believed. And this is the case of this woman. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not here for you. I'm not here for you. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. And here comes that word, let it be to you as you desire. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That was the beginning of the change. She pressed on until she heard that word that brought the freedom. She was not going to believe unless she received that word that would bring the freedom. She pressed in. She pressed in. The disciples came, chased her away. Jesus ignored her, told her, I'm not here for you. And then implied that she was a little dog. They called the Gentiles dogs and insulted her. Nothing could turn this woman away. She was not going to leave. All she needed was to hear those words. Let it be as you desire. And it was done. And the situation changed. In the beginning was the word. That was the beginning of her salvation. The change that came to that family. I want to do one more. Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 27. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. How many times do we see Christians run after this name and that name, and this big name and this big name, and all you need to do is hear the word of God and keep it. That's where the blessing comes from. A person cannot bless you, but hearing the word of God and doing it can bless you. It's not about this person or that person, or this great name, or that great name. This is all we ever need. Hear the word of God and do it. That's all we need to do. It's all in here. It's begin to do what he tells us to do. Just begin to do what he tells us to do. That's the way to blessing. It says here, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now we got something that we need to keep this morning. If we want that blessing that we've been praying for, that breakthrough, that healing, that abundance, whatever it might be, all we need to do is hear the word of God and keep it. And if you have buts in your mind, say, nevertheless. Nevertheless, it makes no sense to me, but I'll do it. It doesn't add up to me. It's not really my personality. That's not how I do things, but I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll just do what God tells me to do. I tell you, Jesus had to do a lot of that when God spoke to him. Do you know that Jesus never did anything unless he heard the Father speak? He never did anything. And there were times when God told him some pretty difficult things to do. I always think of that occasion where the blind man came to him. And he spat on the ground and made clay and put it on his eyes. Do you know that that's an insult? That would render that man unclean for a week. And that person, he was a person that was a controversial person, and people were looking for reasons to criticize him. Now to go and do that, what do you think? It was a difficult thing to do. That was a hard thing to do. It was against the law. And he did what God told him to do. And the man was healed. It didn't make sense, but it worked. And that's all that counts. That's all that counts. Listen, our minds were not created to understand God. Our minds were not created to understand His Word. All we need to do is latch onto it in faith and just do what God tells us to do. Obedience and faith walk hand in hand. And you cannot separate the two. They walk hand in hand. And faith is action, as is obedience. It's something that you do. Now, we know that obedience is not when you do what's easy for you to do. If you tell your kid, go to the cookie jar and help yourself, and they do it, you can't really say it's obedience, right? That's just something that's natural to them. But if you tell them you don't go there, you don't put your hand in there, and they don't, now, that is obedience. When you do what you don't want to do, you talk about obedience. And that's the hard thing about obeying God. It often requires us to do things that we don't want to do. We don't want to do that. And then we lose out. We miss all the blessings because we are disobedient to the Word that brings the blessing. And we pray. Isn't that funny? Now we can persist. And we keep on praying. And we keep on praying. And God already spoke a long time ago. He said, this is how you, this is what you need to do. No, it can't be. I'll just keep on praying. And see if God has something else to say to me. Maybe what He tells me now will be a little easier than what He said last time. And you keep on praying. Keep on praying. No. God's not going to change His mind. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. And He's not going to change. We change. There are too many people today that want to change God and to change His Word. We cannot change Him, and we cannot change His Word. Well, you know, you can believe what you want. You are free to believe just what you want. And we hear that story all day long. Well, you know, that's not how I believe. But what's the point of putting your faith in something that's not true? What's the point? Why would you believe something that's not true? It's the truth that sets us free. And nothing else. I just want to close with scripture here in Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and truth. I know it's easy to praise the Lord for His loving kindness, but I don't always think we praise Him for the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, and we don't want to praise Him for the truth. But you know, it's a truth that sets us free. Now watch. For you have magnified your word above all your name. It's mind-boggling. The name of God. There is no name like the name of God. And yet He magnified His word above His name. Your name is only as good as your word. But God magnified his word above his name. We have no reason to ever doubt him. We have no reason to ever disobey him. We have no reason to ever just give up on hearing the word of God. And it doesn't matter what you are faced with and what your challenge is. Let the beginning always be the word of God. The first step as you plan to walk away from that thing, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And you'll find the answers in the word of God. I know we live in busy times, and we're all busy, and people are always busy, 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 and all of that. But it's hard for Christians to be ignorant in the things of the Word of God. We cannot afford in our day not to be students of the Word of God. We cannot afford not to understand and study the Word of God. Do you know that there are religions out there where children are forced at a young age to know their book by heart? And we serve the living God, and our people don't know the Word of God. And we're paying a price for that. Oh, I tell you, we're busy, 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 but we have no idea of the price that we pay for not, as Jesus says, abiding in the Word of God. We pay a price for that, and we don't have to. We don't have to. We don't have to. Because this Word has creative power. This Word has the Word that brings blessing to our lives. And we cannot afford not to feed on this Word every day. I want to say all day long. How do I do that? By meditating on the Word. M&M. Memorize and meditate. Memorize and meditate. Get something to meditate on. Meditate. David says, I meditate on your word in the night times. Psalm 1 says, if we meditate on the word day and night, we will be like a tree planted by the waters. We will always bear fruit in season. Always, it even says, and you'll be blessed in what you do. Isn't that amazing? You'll be blessed in what you do when you do that. The Word of God, the beginning of all things. The Word of God. We're people of the Word. We're people of the Word. Now, I know if we only have the Word, we'll dry up. There's a lot of dry Christians. And tonight we're going to speak on the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit and the Word always work together. The Spirit will never do something or anything that's contrary to the Word of God. They always work together. They always work together. Always the author of the Word. They always work together. And tonight we're going to speak on the Spirit of God. Amen. God wants the Spirit, His Spirit right inside of you. It's a life-giving Spirit. This is a life-giving word. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And we live the life that comes from the Word of God. Amen. And we are well able to do everything that He calls us to do. We are well able to do it. Every one of us. We are well able, through our obedience to the Word of God, we can do all things. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we bless you this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have delivered into our hands this life-giving word that never changes, that creates awesome power, is released when the word of God is spoken. The rhema that comes to us, a life-giving force that that can rule over all the forces of nature and the enemy and sets us free and puts us over and gives us the victorious life that you want us to live. And Father, today we come and we dedicate ourselves to become true students of the Word of God, so that we may walk in obedience to you as dear children. I pray for all of us, Lord, this morning, that we will not be just casual believers or casual Christians, but we will be people of the Word and of the Spirit that will do great exploits for you in these days. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.